Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
So recently, many states have made significant changes in their legislation, making recreational and or medical marijuana use by adults legal. And although these laws, for the most part, have not targeted the adolescent population, it does make, as a parent, your discussions with your children about what's going on in the country somewhat difficult, and you're not quite sure. It's not quite the same as having the alcohol, but you know, conversation, but it sort of is. And my guest today is Dr. Seth Ammerman. He's a clinical professor in pediatrics and adolescent medicine at Stanford University. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ammerman. So for years, we've been kind of learning how to speak to our kids about drugs and alcohol and sexual conduct and experiences. And now comes this, sort of throws a wrench, because we were easily able to say it's illegal. I mean, that was the excuse. And with alcohol, we could say, not till you're 21. But now this is a whole new realm for us all. So what do you want parents to know about talking to their kids about what's going on in the country?
I would say that the medical marijuana laws are primarily for adults, and the recreational marijuana laws are exclusively for those 21 and older. In states which have legalized medical marijuana, for minors to receive medical marijuana for a particular condition, parental written consent is required. So it is really not at this point, these medical and recreational laws are really not targeting adolescents or teenagers per se. Although clearly we're concerned that with the legalization efforts that teens may perceive that marijuana is a benign drug and a medicine, I'll put that in quotes, and therefore it's safe and fine to use it.
So then, I mean, let's start with the fact of medical marijuana. Dr. Ammerman, what is the American Academy of Pediatrics take on this? What is their statement or policy initiative on the medical marijuana situation?
The American Academy of Pediatrics statement, it primarily concerning medical marijuana, is that we need more research to really see what benefits there may be in the use of marijuana. Now, medical marijuana is actually a misnomer, because what we're really talking about are the active ingredients in the marijuana or cannabis plant, which are called cannabinoids. We know that there are probably a minimum of 200 different cannabinoids in a given plant, and we know very little about most of them. The two cannabinoids that are getting the most publicity are THC, which is tetrahydrocannabinol, and that's the psychoactive cannabinoid that gets one high. And CBD is the non-psychoactive cannabinoid, cannabidiol. That's gotten a lot of publicity because of its potential therapeutic use for babies and children with intractable seizures. But the bottom line on medical marijuana is there are no randomized clinical trials that have been conducted on the use of medical marijuana in children or teenagers. All the studies which have shown some specific benefits for are all in adults. And these benefits in adults, for example, include help with nausea and vomiting with patients with cancer or undergoing chemotherapy, or patients with chronic neuropathic pain, but none of these studies have been done in children or teens. So it's really an issue where we can't really recommend it, because we just don't know what the effects would be, the side effects, what's appropriate dosing, what even particular cannabinoids might be helpful or may not be.
So I can see having that discussion about medical with my children, because, And I know somebody with pancreatic cancer who uses that, and it has helped a lot, that's for sure. However, that discussion is medically based without all of the studies, as you say, but, you know, it can have that sort of medical base to that discussion. So you can say this is being used for that just as any medication would. However, now recreational, that's a whole different ballgame because it's always been some, the teenage brain, Dr. Ammerman, is so bizarre anyway. And the studies have shown that, that marijuana on the teenage brain does even weirder things. So what do we tell our kids now about the fact that it's becoming legal recreationally in some states and for adults?
I actually love the teenage brain.
I do too, but I know it's a nutty little thing, that brain, isn't it?
Well, it's a developing entity, and that's one of the big issues with the use of marijuana in teenagers, because there are studies that have shown, for example, using functional MRI, that use of marijuana can change normal brain development. Now, it's not clear what that means particularly, but it's probably not good if you're changing what should be normal brain development into something that isn't. When I work with teens, this is one of the counseling points I use with them, because it turns out teens are actually very interested in the fact that their brains are developing. And when I let them know that use of alcohol or drugs or tobacco, but in this particular case, marijuana, can alter normal brain development, that really seems to be of interest to them and engage them and make them think a little more about the whole issue. One of the other issues around the recreational legalization of marijuana for adults is that for many adults, recreational use on a occasional basis may be quite benign, like moderate use of alcohol. We know that adults who use alcohol moderately generally function well. Doesn't mean that all adults do, and obviously adults do have alcohol problems. But with teenagers, it's not a benign issue because of the developing brain. So something that may be okay for adults may even be benign in moderate usage. We cannot say the same thing for teens.
So now,
that's the
you know,
real concern.
Well, it is, and we used to, you know, have that gateway discussion, and I've told my kids, I've said, you know, they say it's not a gateway, but it is. Because I think it is. I mean, this is my own personal opinion, but I do think that it leads to the feeling of now I can try something else, even if it is, you know, not quite as harsh of a drug. It can lead to other things, but that is my personal opinion. I don't know whether it's considered a gateway drug or not.
Really, so, the evidence for it being a, quote, gateway drug is pretty weak. It is true that teenagers or adults who use, let's say, opioids or heroin or amphetamines and so on, many of them did use marijuana. But the reality is that most marijuana users, whether adolescents or adults, are not going to go on to harder drug use.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, because it is a little bit extra scary, you know, when you think about it. So how do we talk to our kids about the fact that this is now being legalized when it's been an illegal drug for just ever so long, but maybe they saw the hippies in the 60s and thought it was no big deal? And then also, Dr. Ammerman, if we are having this discussion with our children about the legalization for recreational use, do we, and this is the big question a lot of parents in my age group want you to answer for us, is do we tell them about anything we used to do?
In terms of counseling points, I think there's some that are for both parents and for teens, and then some really exclusively more oriented to parents. So what I would say to both parents and teens, because again, like you have just mentioned, a lot of adults have used marijuana and have not had problems with it, and or not only that, they enjoy it. And use it on an occasional basis and feel like it's not a harmful substance for them. But I think one of the some key counseling points are, first, that even though that may be true for adults, it's not a benign drug for teens because the teen brain is still developing, and we know that marijuana can cause abnormal brain development. Additionally, we know that teens who use marijuana regularly, they can develop serious mental health disorders, including addiction, depression, and even psychosis has been correlated with regular marijuana use. And those are obviously things we want to avoid. We also, there's a myth out there that if you drive under the influence of marijuana, it's really a safe thing to do, unlike alcohol. But we now have a lot of data to show that along with alcohol, marijuana is the second most common drug that's found in motor vehicle accidents that occur, including serious injury and death. So no one should really drive under the influence of marijuana or ride with someone who has used marijuana, and in particular with teens, because that's a major issue. For adults, I think you bring up a really great point. Adults are role models, and your children respond a lot more to what you do than to what you say. So if you smoke marijuana in front of your kids, but you say to them, you know what, I'm an adult, so it's okay for me to do it because my brain's developed and I function fine, but you can't or shouldn't because your brain's developing and you're a teenager, that teen is much more likely to use marijuana as a teen. And so role modeling is really important. And in talking with your teen about your use, you do not need to get into all your specific stories of your marijuana use when you were a young adult or in college or whatever the circumstances were. Just like you don't get into all your other kind of, you know, sexual or other issues, you know, behaviors at that point with your kids. It's perfectly fine to say to your teen, yeah, I smoked marijuana in college and, you know, it was okay. I enjoyed it. I did it occasionally, but, you know, it's just not my thing. And then have that open up a discussion with the teen about why are you asking and are your friends using or what's your interest and so on in a very non-judgmental way. So opening up the discussion, but there's no need to go into great detail about your own personal use. As a matter of fact, that's been shown to actually not be helpful.
So that's very good to know, and we only have a few minutes left, but what about edibles? Because now this is a whole nother department, because they're legal and places are popping up in the states where they are legal, and they come in candy-like forms, chocolate and gummies and lollipops and things. And so, you know, if kids say, well, at least I'm not taking smoke into my lungs, and so what do you say to them then?
Well, edibles are a big issue and an important issue. I'm glad you brought that up, because not only, by the way, are they ones you eat, as you described, but they're also drinkable. So there's soda that's infused with THC, and so there's soda and pop and so on that look like, you know, juice or soda pop that kids can drink. One issue with edibles is that when you smoke marijuana, the effects start feeling the effects pretty quickly, and they peak rather quickly as well. Whereas with edibles, you don't start feeling any effect for 30 to 60 minutes, and the peak effects may not be for 2 to 4 hours. What that means is, and this is a problem with teens, and we've seen this, they'll do an edible, it's 15, 20 minutes, they're not feeling anything, they'll do another one. And they're not feeling anything, and they'll do another one, and then they end up overdosing. And this can cause serious problems that can lead to hospitalization, respiratory depression, and other serious issues. One related point to this is that when we, in the 70s, let's say, the average THC content of marijuana was about 4%. It is now typically quadruple that, 16%, and even sometimes 20% or higher. So it's much stronger, and in particular with the case of edibles, overdosing is a real problem. And of course, because they can look like candies or look like juice, kids and little kids in particular who see it lying around, have overdosed accidentally, and ended up in the hospital. So it's extremely important to keep all edible or drinkable marijuana products away from children. Very important.
So wrap it up for us, Dr. Ammerman, with your best advice. And doing what you have done for all of these years, and you're the medical director of the Teen Health Van, and you've been working with kids and underinsured youth for years and about tobacco and drugs and alcohol, wrap this up with your best advice for parents about speaking to their kids in this time of legalization of even recreational marijuana, what you want them to know about discussing this with their kids and teens.
So to wrap this up, I would say, first of all, it is very important to have this discussion with your teen in an open and non-judgmental way, because whether the teen brings it up or not, they are being exposed to marijuana use, even if they're not using themselves. And it's very important to talk about it with them and to let them know that marijuana for them, for teenagers, is not a benign drug, and that it can have serious problem consequences from a mental health point of view, from a brain development point of view, and that from a medical marijuana point of view, like any other medicine, there are only certain indications for it, and that in general, there are no medical indications we know of at this point that we can really recommend for use of medical marijuana in children. And finally, don't drive under the influence of marijuana or with someone who is under the influence of marijuana. Hopefully the parent has already had that discussion about alcohol, but this is equally important.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ammerman, for being with us. It's such important information and can be a little confusing for parents. So parents out there, you know, you're getting this information from the experts, from the American Academy of Pediatrics, and they're right here with us on Radio MD to help us all learn together. And remember, you can subscribe on iTunes and rate and review. And that way, parents and like-minded people, we can all get this information together. We can all get involved, because that's how we teach our children, just like Crosby, Stills and Nash said, that's how we teach our children, and that's what we have to do as parents. We have to be good role models, and we have to have open lines of communication with our children. It's just so important. Thanks so much for listening. This is Melanie Cole with For Healthy Children and Radio MD. Stay well.